meeting of the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection, Finance, and Policy to order. Today is Monday, April 25th. It is 8:35, and today we have an informational hearing on Senate File 4300, which I am the author of. Senate Bill 4300 proposes to change the availability of higher biofuel blends to the motoring public. These fuels are necessary and desirable and play a key role as a transition fuel to whatever future demands. While the need for biofuels is great, we must first eliminate the bottleneck to making these fuels available statewide. We do not have availability or a demand problem, we have an infrastructure problem. 85% of the current service stations' underground storage tanks and dispensing systems are not compatible with the higher blended biofuels for state and federal environmental protection laws. Essentially, service stations are the bottleneck to achieving our goals. According to the Governor's Biofuel Council, only 15% of the total fuel retailing sites in Minnesota can legally handle fuels above E10 or B20. The proposed legislation will eliminate this bottleneck and allow the entire ag and biofuel delivery industry to collectively solve the problem and benefit the motoring public. This bill addresses this fuel infrastructure problem by establishing the Equipment Reimbursement Funding Program, which provides fuel marketers a way to upgrade their facilities, allowing for the sale of these higher blended fuels. This funding program will help fuel retailers offset the enormous cost of retrofitting their fuel storage and dispensing equipment, and at the same time providing immediate aid to the fuel consumer. We have an impressive list of testifiers today, so I'd like to ask Mr. Tim Gross, Minnesota Petroleum Marketers Association, if he would like to testify. Mr. Gross, if you would come to the table.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Gross. If you'd state your name and who you represent for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tim Gross. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Petroleum Marketers Association. Our association represents the 450 fuel marketers, licensed fuel distributors, multi-generational family businesses, and farm co-ops that own and operate the majority of the 2,500 fuel retail sites found across Minnesota. We are your neighbors located at the corners of your hometown main streets, providing the fuel and convenience items for the motoring needs. As Chair Dames described, the fuel marketers are the bottleneck or the limiting reasons why only 15% of the retail sites in Minnesota offer higher biofuel blends. This is a biofuel infrastructure compatibility issue. It was presented to the Governor's Biofuel Council that it would cost an estimated $800 million over a 10-year period to upgrade our existing underground tank storage systems to allow the sale of higher biofuel blends, which includes fuels above E10 and B20. The average cost per retail site was estimated to be $590,000. This proposed legislation provides a workable solution with the goal of dramatically increasing the availability, sales, and use of biofuels in Minnesota. This goal will be achieved by following five guiding principles. It must benefit the fuel consumer, benefit the farmer, benefit Minnesota's environment, benefit the fuel retailer, and create jobs in Minnesota within the fuel service and equipment provider industry. Senate File 4300 will fulfill this goal and provide for these principles. I would like to highlight two of these benefits. First, the consumer will benefit by cheaper pump prices. In your packet of information are examples of actual fuel savings for consumers who had access to E15. Cost savings range from 5 to 40 cents per gallon. These examples were gathered last week from Duluth, Brainerd, St. Cloud, Rochester, and the metro area. Senate File 4300 will create the ability for every fuel retailer to offer these higher blended biofuels and provide every fuel consumer the ability to take advantage of these significant price savings. The benefit to fuel retailers is the best told by explaining the issue where 85% of our fuel marketers find themselves today. The vast majority of fuel retailers cannot sell E15 because of this non-compatibility issue. These retailers are facing a severe competitive disadvantage with price differentials from that 3 to 40 cents per gallon with E15 versus their E10. These businesses confront a very uncertain future without the help of Senate File 4300 has to offer. This legislation provides a reimbursement funding to these fuel retailers to upgrade and retrofit their fuel infrastructure. This program mirrors a current very successful Petroleum Tank Release Cleanup Fund, or PETRO Fund. The funding of this program is based on a user fee that involves no general funds. The association's members, the licensed fuel distributors, will incur the liability for payment of these fees set at 1.3 cents per gallon on all liquid fuels. This fee will turn on and off throughout the year depending on the account's balance. The equipment eligible for reimbursement includes all underground and above ground fuel storage tanks and dispensing equipment that are compatible for handling higher biofuel blends at existing or new fueling sites. These sites include convenience stores, service stations, and bulk plants. Reimbursement is set at a rate of 65% for eligible fuel equipment and installation labor. The fuel markers will provide for 35% of the total cost. Reimbursements requirements include a fully paid invoice, equipment service provider verification, and approved agency documentation. To give priority to small retailers, while still providing some level of benefit to all fuel retailers taking on this fee liability, there is an annual maximum reimbursement of $800,000 to any one business entity. The Department of Commerce will administer the program with help from an advisory board. Administrative costs will be covered by the fund balance, and this program will sunset after 10 years. It is important to note this program is not an E15 mandate legislation. The consumer will still decide on his or her own individual choice for fuel. What this legislation does is prepare liquid fuels for the future. Whatever that future holds for biofuels, including ethanol, biodiesel, renewable natural gas, renewable propane, or whatever the next advancing biofuels yet to be developed. As fuel retailers, we want to meet this challenge and be ready for whatever the next decade and beyond brings for the future of liquid fuels. Senate File 4300 will provide for that challenge. Thank you, Chair Daines, for bringing this important legislation forward, and thank you, committee members.
Thank you, Mr. Gross. And members, I think we'll hold up on questions until all the testifiers have testified. So next we have Joyce Mansky from Jack's Companies. Joyce, if you would please come forward. Welcome to the Commerce Committee, Joyce.
Good morning. Thank you.
And if you would state your name and who you represent and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Joyce Mansky, and I am from Jack's Oil Distributing, located in Eden Valley, Minnesota, found just an hour and a half northwest of the Twin Cities. Jack's Oil is a multi-generation, family-owned and operated fuel distributing business. We employ approximately 140 employees throughout five different communities in central Minnesota, including Eden Valley, Watkins, Richmond, Cokato, and Annandale. Thank you for allowing me the time to share my thoughts and support for Senate File 4300. Our retail convenience stores provide an important service to the small businesses we serve. They act as the economic and social hub for many of these communities. Our retail stores provide not only the convenience items expected by our consumers, but essential food and safety products needed in times of trouble, as experienced over the past 2 years during COVID. We are very proud of the services and products we provide our customers. There is one category of products we are unable to provide, that being higher biofuel blends. One of these types of biofuels is E15, also known as unleaded 88. There are two main reasons why it is important for Jack's Oil to offer E15 and higher biofuel blends. First, our customers are demanding E15 more and more each year, in part to cost savings. It is important to us to be able to meet the needs of our customers. Secondly, new competition has begun offering E15 at prices much lower than our regular E10 prices, sometimes at an upwards of a 60 cent price differential. This competitive price differential threatens the future of our small business. That being said, currently we are unable to sell E15 at four of our five convenience stores because many components of the underground storage tank delivery systems are deemed non-compatible with E15. In the summer of 2021, we elected to invest on our own to upgrade the equipment at one location to legally and safely begin selling higher biofuel blends. The cost for that upgrade was $580,281, of which $511,280 was directly associated with the requirement to sell biofuel blends. We are considering upgrading our other facilities, but the costs are overwhelming. Recently, we received estimates for a different location at a cost of well over $600,000. These costs are very troubling for our family business. Discussions with our local bank and financing these projects have been challenging because we will sell no more gallons and provide no additional dollars to the bottom line. The best that we can say is that these upgrades will allow us to be in business tomorrow. This is a discussion no small business wants to have with their banker. We are not alone in these discussions. Similar conversations are happening between fuel retailers and their bankers across communities in all parts of Minnesota. We need your help. Senate File 4300 supplies the financial support to businesses like mine and countless others across the state. This funding will provide us the opportunity to meet the demands of our customers, save them money at the pump, and ensure we will be able to be in business tomorrow to provide for the community in the future. Please support Senate File 4300. Chair Dames and community members, thank you for allowing me the time to share my thoughts on this important legislation.
Well, thank you, Joyce. And next we have Timothy Rudnicki from the Minnesota Biofuels Association. Tim, if you'd come forward. Welcome to the committee, Tim.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for having me here. I think what I'd like to do is connect a few dots, but first, for the record,
would you like to state your name and who you represent and then proceed?
I'm Tim Rudnicki. I represent the Minnesota Biofuels Association, and that's a trade organization for ethanol producers here in the state of Minnesota. So as for some of the dots, maybe it might be worth connecting. You've heard from other testifiers about some of the bottleneck issues and the challenges retailers face. From a macro perspective, in the state of Minnesota, based on an economic analysis, which we shared with you in a PDF format, the University of Minnesota determined in 2021, Minnesota's ethanol industry supported about 22,810 jobs. It generated $123 million in state and local tax contributions and added over $2 billion to Minnesota's GDP. That's Minnesota's ethanol industry. So with respect to the bottlenecks, and you've heard about E15, E15 is 15% renewable ethanol and 85% gasoline. And back in 2012, the United States Environmental Protection Agency actually approved the use of E15 for use in 2001 and newer vehicles that have internal combustion engines. Again, the bottleneck is what's at issue. The renewable fuel is here. The homegrown production is here. And what we've learned, thanks to the Minnesota legislature and some private contributions and grants from the state, is that when the funds are available, retailers will take advantage of those grant funds to do upgrades so they can offer E15 and higher blends. And there have been two programs, one referred to as the Biofuel Infrastructure Partnership Program, which was oversubscribed a few years ago. And more recently, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture just wrapped up a similar grant program. And to the best of our knowledge, that's oversubscribed maybe threefold. So what this tells us, it affirms what you've heard, it tells us there's really high demand for some assistance to make these equipment upgrades. And the important part of all of that really comes down to what you've heard from some other testifiers, but I'll add a few other points, and that is, not only is there a cost savings to consumers, and the numbers range a bit, but it's generally 5 to 15 cents per gallon on the conservative side. That's a real tangible benefit for consumers if we can get the bottleneck removed or taken care of. The other real tangible benefit is that we're seeing GHG reduction benefits. And based on an analysis from the University of Illinois Chicago Energy Resources Center, it was determined that if the fuel were E15 across the state, in other words, there was access to it and consumers were using it, it would have the equivalent greenhouse gas reduction benefit as if you were taking 225,000 vehicles off the road each year. So I guess to wrap this up, really there are energy independence issues here. It's about keeping strong a renewable ethanol industry in the state of Minnesota. It's about giving consumers choice at the pump as well as savings. And it's also about bolstering the economy. So Senate File 4300 holds incredible potential to achieve these broad goals that are in the best interest, we believe, of Minnesotans and certainly the ethanol industry and homegrown renewable energy generally. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee.
Well, thank you, Tim. And next we have Amanda Vilek from the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. Welcome to the Commerce Committee, Amanda. And if you would state your name and who you represent and proceed with your testimony.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Amanda Bellick. I am the Public Policy Director for the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. Thank you, Senator Dames, for being the chief author of Senate File 4300 and also having the informational hearing this morning. So I'm here this morning representing the Minnesota Corn Growers Association and our 6,500 members, expressing our interest and support in continuing to work with the Minnesota Petroleum Marketers Association in the interim and to help advance a version of Senate File 4300 in a future legislative session. A key priority for the Minnesota corn growers is to expand access and use of higher biofuel blends. This helps to improve air quality and reduce carbon emissions while giving drivers a higher octane fuel at a lower price. Last year, Minnesota sold over 86 million gallons of E15. This provided a lower cost and cleaner burning fuel option for consumers. During the first few months of 2022, we continue to see increased sales of E15. This is demonstrating that when consumers are given the option, they choose lower priced, higher blends of ethanol. The ethanol industry is crucial to Minnesota's corn farmers' economic vitality, but higher blends of ethanol and fuel also provide multiple benefits to Minnesota consumers, communities, and the economy. Ethanol is a cleaner burning fuel that helps to improve air quality by reducing particulate emissions and has lower carbon emissions compared to gasoline. A single kernel of corn not only produces ethanol from the starch of that kernel, but also a high-value, protein-rich, dry distiller's grain. And this is a source of livestock feed, as well as there are other co-products that get produced at ethanol plants. This is an important element to be talking about. A significant portion of our corn does go to ethanol, but a lot of that is captured in that dried distillery grain product, so we also have a source of livestock feed. Co-product utilization at Minnesota's 19 ethanol plants, coupled with improvements in the corn production and other kinds of crop production, have resulted in that greater efficiency. And as a result of that, today's corn ethanol reduces carbon emissions by 46% on average compared to gasoline. The carbon emission reduction profile of today's corn ethanol has been verified by the U.S. Department of Energy as well as Agriculture, the California Air Resources Board, and academic institutions ranging from the University of Illinois, but also to Harvard, MIT, and the University of California, Davis. Not only does blending ethanol with gasoline result in lower carbon emissions, but it also reductions in particulate matter, carbon monoxide, and nitrogen oxides, which these can create smog. This was a key reason why Minnesota first started using ethanol blends in the metropolitan area in the 1990s. These reductions have also been verified in engine testing research conducted at the University of California, Riverside for the California Air Resources Board. So because of these multiple benefits of biofuel blending, Minnesota became the first state to have a 10% biofuel standard, and today nearly every gallon of gasoline across the country contains at least 10% ethanol. MCGA has advocated for the legislature to increase our existing biofuel standard from 10 to 15%, and we have worked for several years with fuel retailers to expand access and increase awareness of higher ethanol blends through infrastructure programs as well as ethanol promotion. Expanded retail access for higher blends of ethanol adds value to the nearly 1.2 billion gallons of ethanol we already produce in Minnesota, and it also adds value to the corn that's grown by Minnesota's family corn farmers. We lead the nation in the number of retail locations offering higher blends of ethanol, with more than 420 stations offering E15. However, with nearly 3,600 fuel retail locations in Minnesota, there is plenty of room for growth. One of the key challenges in moving to a 15% blend of ethanol statewide is an ongoing funding source to assist retailers with the upgrades and replacements of infrastructure that are needed to offer these higher biofuel blends. This was also a key barrier that was identified by the Governor's Biofuels Council, Governor's Council on Biofuels, that's also been mentioned this morning. So we are very encouraged by the Minnesota Petroleum Marketers Association working with their membership to help develop a proactive proposal to address this challenge of a stable long-term funding source for biofuels infrastructure. We've already made progress in agreeing to some language that can be incorporated into a future bill that would establish a goal and reporting requirements, ensuring we can transition to higher biofuel blends by retailers as quickly as possible, and that will help us to achieve statewide 15% ethanol blends. This will have a benefit for the state's corn farmers, our robust ethanol industry, and utilize better fuels to improve air quality and lower prices for consumers. This is a true win-win-win solution for Minnesota corn farmers, the ethanol sector, and fuel retailers, but also will provide multiple long-term benefits, not only for the members of our associations, but for all Minnesotans. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to provide testimony on behalf of Minnesota's corn farmers, and thank you for working with all the stakeholders to bring forward the legislation for the biofuels infrastructure proposal contained in Senate File 4300.
Thank you, Amanda. Next, we have Mr. Joe Smintek, Minnesota Soybean Growers, and Joe is with us remotely.
thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for letting me have the opportunity to testify on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Senator Dobbs, for putting this together and putting this legislation forward. MSGA is the oldest farmer-led soybean advocacy group in the country. We're celebrating our 60th anniversary this year, and we fully support this legislation that's put forward by the chairman. This opportunity, this option, we believe, is a better option for Minnesota than a more complex regulatory scheme being put forward in the House through the future fuels bill. This bill, as been stated many times, really gets at the bottleneck of getting more biofuels into the market, and that's the infrastructure. This, at a cost of 1.3 cents per gallon, it also raises prices far less than estimates of a low carbon fuel standard would put on Minnesota's consumers. CARB itself recognizes about an 8.9 cent per gallon increase as opposed to 1.3 for this. So we appreciate the foresight looking at this issue and looking at what's actually causing the problem in preventing the biofuels, and would support any further movement of this legislation forward. I won't belabor most of the points. They've already been stated by previous testimonies. So we'll just thank you for your time and thank you for putting this bill forward.
Well, thank you, Joe. And next we'll go to questions. Members, any questions for the testifiers? Seeing none, Mr. Gross, if you would please come forward. I got a few questions for you, if you'd like to come up with can you tell me, Tim, when these tanks are replaced, how high of a percent of ethanol will they be able to hold? Will they be replaced so they'll all hold up to E85, or can you tell me what percent that'll be?
Yeah, sure, Mr. Chairman. There is a several different type of categories of equipment compatibility. Currently now, the equipment we have in the ground is good for E10. There are another category that if we replace that equipment, some components will be warranted up to E25, and then some components will be compatible up to E85 or higher, E100. As an association, we would strongly suggest our members, when they upgrade this equipment, to go the highest level to prepare for the future. There is a cost difference, though, with that.
And then, do you have any idea how many stations will be able to be updated per year with the funding that you're looking at?
I did know that. Let's see, it's a math thing from Duluth Public School Education I have here. If the fee was on all year, it would accumulate $52 million. If you take $52 million divided by the average cost of $590,000, that would be your answer. And unfortunately, I can't do the math that quickly. But
okay. Any other questions for Tim? Seeing none, I would like to have Casey go through the fiscal note. We do have a fiscal note on this, and so I'd like to have Casey go through that, and then maybe there will be some more questions after that. Casey.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll just focus on the very first page of the fiscal note, which is kind of the summary of what happens with the bill. Those first three lines that you see there in the middle of the page show both the cost side and the revenue side of the equation. The Department of Commerce is estimating roughly $724,000 of administrative costs associated with this. Most of that is for six full-time equivalents, but it also includes some rulemaking costs in the first year. Also board compensation and attorney general fees associated with some of the enforcement issues. The second line is a cost to the Department of Revenue. This is a nominal amount of $42,000 and then $2,000 ongoing. This would be to just update their GenTax system so that they could collect the fee. And keep that maintained. And then on the revenue side, I think the testifier said $52 million. The Department of Revenue is projecting 48.1, so that's very close to that. That would be the revenue that would be collected from the $13 fee. And Mr. Chair, that's really the summary of it. The subsequent pages detail the administrative costs, but the summary here is just the top line number.
Well, thank you, Casey. Members, any questions for Casey on the fiscal note? Seeing none, the members, any other questions on the information that was presented by the testifiers or on this bill? Seeing none, I would like to thank both the corn growers and the Petroleum Marketing Association and the Biofuels Association for all the work that you did to bring this together. I know when we first started talking about this, there was some heartburn floating around, but it really shows when these groups got together and started working this out that there was a solution. And so I really appreciate all you folks doing what you did to bring this together and make it happen. To give an idea of where I see this bill going is this is the end of the biennium, so this bill will not be just automatically passed on next year. But my intentions are, as soon as they start accepting bills for the next biennium, to submit this bill and have this bill be one of the first bills that we deal with when we get into session next January. And if I'm not here, we'll make sure that there's somebody that is here that'll be willing to carry the bill. So I just want to thank you folks for that, and I think if people have questions, they should be contacting you folks, and so that we have this ready to go next fall. And at the same time, we'll probably be looking at the E15 bill also, because now that there's infrastructure in place to handle it, you know, we should be probably looking at that bill at the same time. So with that said, if there's no other questions, just want to state that this was an informational hearing. And thank everybody for participating. And there's no other business. The meeting is now adjourned.